This is Sean Kay on Gorgeous Radio.
Gorgeous.
Welcome to Gorgeous Radio UK, your LGBTQ plus radio station for Birmingham, the Black Country and Shropshire, if you're listening on DAB, or the entire world if you're listening online at www.gorgeous.radio. I'm delighted to be joined here by none other than Cormac Hyde-Corrin, who plays Harry Green in the huge Netflix series Heartstopper, which was launched last month. So, Cormac, welcome.
Hello, thank you very much. Happy to be here. Yeah,
right, good to see you. All right, we're going to go straight in there. I've got some questions about you, some questions about Heartstopper, and then we share a building with a group called X2Y, which is a group for young LGBTQ plus people in Wolverhampton and the surrounding area. They've submitted a couple of questions. And also, I'm a member of a Facebook group called Heartstopper Netflix, and some people on there have asked some questions as well. Nice challenging ones for you. So first of all, like many other of the actors in Heartstopper, you've been thrust into the limelight by the series. But before we talk about Heartstopper, tell us about Cormac Hyde-Corrin. What's your background and your story?
You know, obviously I'm 17, there's not much of a story yet, but I started acting around when I was 14, to be honest. I got a lot of motivation around then to start properly getting into the industry. And I mean, the motivation started from, I wanted to be a film director. Well, I still want to be a film director. And I just fell in love with everything film, really. And acting, you know, I saw it, you know, it's way into the industry. It's really fun. You know, I really enjoy it. It's just from there, it's gone well. Heartstopper obviously came around and yeah, I'm really happy to be a part of it.
Okay, so film and television is your passion. Is it in front or behind the camera that you really want to pursue?
I'm still, to be honest, really deciding, to be honest. I was really set on directing, but Heartstopper being such an amazing eye-opening experience into acting, you know, sort of swayed me towards maybe wanting to do acting. But yeah, my real, you know, my heart is with directing still. I just love film form, everything about that, you know, really interests me. So yeah, I guess in the future, hopefully, see me doing some directing, yeah, behind the camera.
Okay, because we found a little YouTube channel called Cormac Corrin. I'm assuming that is you. There's four films on there. That's you taking your first steps into directing, I assume.
I posted some of those quite a long time ago. I got some new ones on Vimeo though. My Vimeo is probably where you find my newest short films and stuff. I'm still making them in college stuff and outside, yeah.
I noticed one of the football teams in one of your short videos is Liverpool. Is that you?
Let's see, yes, that is me.
You see, I'm a West Bromwich Albion, boing, boing, baggy. One day we'll play you again, I'm sure. Why did you choose TV and film? I mean, all young people have a dream of what they want to be as they grow up and mature through life. What specifically about TV and film interested you?
Well, when I started like getting into it, I was more like I more enjoyed the aesthetic of it, and you know, I got into Tarantino films, stuff like that, and I just loved the way they looked, and it interested me how you can alter. But then yeah, so as it went on, as my like passion went on, I started to really get more interested in like the film form side of it, and like how you can like alter emotion from like just this like such a small choice, like moving the camera like a slight angle higher would convey a whole different emotion, you know, stuff like that really interested me, and how an audience can be swayed by film and how it can, you know, alter perspective and how you can learn from films.
Okay, is there a particular genre that interests you?
Well, not really, to be honest. I mean, I just love films, so I just watch any films, you know. I'm definitely more independent cinema I enjoy though than the big studio films, but they're good as well. You know, I still watch some of them time by time. You know, it's still, yeah, they're still enjoyable. But yeah, it's more the independent that spread a message instead of just like a roller coaster sort of experience.
So it's a kind of like Heartstopper in a way. You know, that's a independently produced program. And you know, that must have interested you. We'll move on to Heartstopper shortly, but it must have interested you because as you watch the series, the camera work and the colours are really cleverly done to portray emotions at the time.
Yeah, the lighting's amazing in all of them. I mean, yeah, cinematography, it's all brilliant, man. Yeah, I did see the lighting, especially in like parties and stuff, and when Charlie and Nick are together, it's just amazing. Yeah.
Let's move on to it then. It's inevitable, isn't it? We've got to talk about it. So the series has been received so well. Personally, as a 52-year-old out gay man, I think it's one of the most perfect pieces of television I've ever seen. I think it's incredible. Mm-hmm. But tell us about your Heartstopper story from the beginning.
I remember I was really angry coming home from school. I don't know, something must have happened in the day, and I remember I had to do a self-tape when I got home, and I just really didn't want to do it because I was in a mood. But
perfect mood to be in it.
Exactly. That's probably one of the things that I got it, to be honest. But yeah, that natural emotion. But yeah, my mum made me do it, and happy I did do it.
Mum's always know best.
But yeah, she's around the corner, probably smiling.
So how did you hear about the series? Because I'm aware that Joe Locke has said that it was just a random casting call that someone told him about. Was that the same situation for you?
Not the same for me. I heard that, a few of the cast got it through a open casting call on Twitter and stuff. But I had an agent already, so he sent me through the self-tape, and I recorded it myself, sent it through to them. So yeah, a bit different from the rest of the guys. But
okay, so it was your agent that that knew about the series and said, come on, go for this.
Yeah, he just sends me self-tapes every now and then to do. Yeah, you know, they just call out to all the agencies.
My next question is, why did you want to be involved? Now, did you know anything about Heartstopper before you were made aware of the audition? Or you would audition him because it was a job opportunity?
Honestly, it was more of a job opportunity at the time. But after the first self-tape, I read all the books. I think there was only two or three out at the time. But I read all of those. Yeah, it was three out at the time. So I read all of those and, you know, fell in love with it, obviously. Brilliant writing and stuff. But yeah, I didn't really know much about it before the casting.
I believe you're the youngest cast member and you're really the only antagonist in the series. Was that daunting when you met your acting colleagues for the first time?
I guess it was a little bit daunting. I mean, they're very similar ages. They're only like a year above all of them. But yeah. I had I always forget what it's called, a chaperone. That's what it is. I had a chaperone on set, so because I was the youngest, they can't really let a 16-year-old go without one. But yeah, that felt a bit weird. But I'm quite competent, so it's all right. But
were you limited to working hours then as a younger person?
Yeah, I was, but it didn't affect it too much. They kind of just stepped me off set, and then that counted as not working. So
what instruction were you given on Harry Green and how he should be? Because he certainly likes the banter, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm. He does like the banter. So Euros definitely was a big help. The director, Euros, he was a big help in forming the character with me. I was trying to make it more a bit probably mean, but he definitely showed me that it was more he's just trying to put on a show for everyone. Yeah. And, you know, it's very high energy performance, which I'm not really used to. But yeah, so he's kind of just showing everyone around him that he's the main man. You know, he just wants to have fun with everything. At other people's expense, obviously.
We know you're playing a role, but there's one scene where Harry calls Charlie, who's an out gay boy in school, he calls him a fag, you know, and that's a big no-no in terms of language. Was that difficult to do? And was it really important that you got that scene right?
Definitely, because, you know, if you don't get it right, it just definitely could come off worse, but you just really have to separate you from the character, really. So, you know, when I'm playing Harry, there's no more Cormac in me, so I kind of just have to think what the character's thinking, and obviously Harry doesn't think it's too bad or he wouldn't have said it, but yeah, so I just had to push myself into Harry's perspective.
Do you think Harry's redeemable?
I wouldn't say redeemable. I'd say I don't really think there's definitely, it's up for debate in book three whether he, bit spoilers here, spoiler alert,
everyone.
In book three where he has a little bit of a character change, but I still personally think he's just trying to, because it's okay now, everyone's all right with it, so he's just trying to stay popular, and
he wants to be best friends with Nick, doesn't he? That's it.
He's trying to be as normal as possible, and now it's normal, he's trying to get on board as well, but yeah, a bit too fast.
There's some really brilliant interactions between Harry and Tao, who's played by Will Gow, where Harry never seems to get the upper hand. Tao's always got the last word to say. Were you ever tempted to get a sly comment in?
I mean, as Harry Green, I couldn't really, you know, he's always one step ahead. He's the clever one. I'm just trying to bring the banter in, but yeah, I mean, obviously, again, separating the character from the person, but yeah, the ego, Harry Green's ego definitely got hurt a couple of times.
The Kit Connor who plays Nick, he's stated he'd quite like to play a bad guy in the future. You've got that well and truly ticked off with Harry Green. Do you ever want to play a good guy?
Well, I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't mind playing a good guy. But no, it is fun to play a bad guy though, you know. But yeah, I wouldn't mind playing a good guy, to be honest, every now and then.
I was watching a YouTube channel, I think it's called The Trophy Muncher, and they were reviewing Heartstopper. And they did a graph that rated the characters from Heartstoppers, I think it was the great, really good, down to the bottom one, which was called Poo on My Shoe. where do you think Harry Green was on that?
I mean, the character, Poo on My Shoe, I'm guessing.
Actually, it was one of the great.
And
the reason given, Cormac, was because of your portrayal. That must feel good.
That does feel good, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, all because of the banter. I'm going to ask some questions now that members of an X2Y group have sent in. They share the building with us here at Gorgeous. They're a support group for young LGBTQ+ people. I'm also going to ask some questions from a group called Heartstopper Netflix. So X2Y first. How long did the recording take and how long were you on set?
I think it took 2 to 3 months that we filmed the whole thing through. I was on set not as much as definitely not as much as Kit and Joe. They were in it basically every day, but yeah, I had quite a few rests. I mean, I was doing my GCSEs at the time, so they kind of had to step me off quite a bit for studying as well, stuff like that. But yeah, I was in it for quite a lot though.
So you're actually lucky this year, because I believe Joe and Kit have got A-levels. You're in that gap year, aren't you, between GCSEs and A-levels?
Uh-huh, yeah. I'm just in year 12 at the moment, so it's not really, yeah, sort of in the middle. It's a bit useless really, but yeah.
You can actually enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
Did you feel comfortable playing a character that is so homophobic?
Obviously, me myself didn't feel comfortable in Harry's shoes, but you know, again, just separate the character from the person as much as physically possible. So yeah, I mean, when I'm playing Harry, you know, the homophobia is natural, because it's just his mind frame, his perspective, and you know, he's just doing it for a joke. He just thinks he's funny. But
what's been the fan response to you playing Harry? What's it been like?
It's actually been really nice, to be honest. I've got very, very minimal hate, to be honest. I mean, they're very clever fan group, I guess. You know, I was expecting a ton of hate, to be honest. I was expecting to get absolutely shat on, I can't lie. But yeah, not bad at all. I mean, everyone was really nice, you know. Everyone's just very good at separating a character from the person, yeah.
Connor Warren asks, how did it feel to play a homophobic character? I think you've kind of answered that one already. It is the character, it's not Cormac. Richard Matthews asks, how did you manage to channel the nasty side of Harry?
I was in year 11 at the time in school, and the unfortunate truth is there are people like that in the world, and especially in UK secondary schools. I was definitely in and amongst it, like everyone. Yeah, you sort of pick up on some characters in school, and I definitely learned from them, trying to get to know Harry a bit more.
That's an interesting answer. So you've actually channeled maybe some people at your school and their attitudes.
Just looking about them.
Cedric Yaprabi asks, has the series helped you learn more about LGBTQIA?
Yeah, definitely. Parts was really opened my eyes to that. You don't really, it's getting better in schools, they're teaching you more about it and stuff, but really good experience for me with that side. Yeah.
When you auditioned, George Appling's asked, why did you choose to audition for Harry? Or was that your agent saying, this part we think would suit you?
Yeah, that's the character I went up for. They only really send me I don't really get to choose, but yeah, they just set me up for Harry.
Adrian Mullary asks, if you could play another character in Heartstopper, who would it be and why?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I haven't had that one before. I don't know. Maybe Nick, but, rugby king.
Can you play rugby? We've got to ask that question.
I actually can, yeah. I was pretty good at rugby for a bit when I was younger. Yeah, I did, played county level. But, yeah, that's, I guess, probably one of the reasons I got cast as well,
Okay, Malaysia Rios. I mean, obviously, you've mentioned earlier that Harry's gone through an experience, but we've seen what the graphic novels say, but obviously Heartstopper the series differs in some respects and is exactly the same in the other, so we know kind of what happens to Harry in the graphic novels, but the question is, what do you think's in store for Harry, and do you think it will differ from the novels, i.e. will Cormac be asked back and will there be more Harry?
I really don't know, to be honest, but in book three, I'm definitely in book three, so yeah, I think you will definitely get that debate whether it's for real or not, his redemption. But not really sure.
And Alana Zaldivar, I think, says, what's the funniest or best moment you had on set?
Ooh, the funniest, best moment we had on set. There was quite a lot. Playing rugby was definitely fun every time. The rain, when it rained in the rugby, it was freezing cold. And I remember once it actually snowed as well. So that was pretty mental. But yeah, playing rugby was fun. Definitely all the rugby lads, the actors who were playing rugby had like a little competition who can tackle the most people. But yeah, that was fun.
Was there a cast member that you bonded with? Was there anyone that you hung around with the most?
I sort of hang around with the people Harry's friends with in the show. We've got Harry's mates, Otis, Sy, all of those guys. Definitely Kit as well. We chilled with quite a lot on set. Yeah, I mean, everyone was so lovely though. Like, you just, whenever you interact with them, it's just a lovely experience, yeah.
Because we do see them hanging around at the moment, going to BAFTA ceremonies and film premieres, etc. We never seem to see you so much with them. Is that simply because you're a year younger, is it? Is it just you want to stay apart from it?
No, I sort of, because I'm not 18 yet, so I don't really want to drag them like out into, they want to go clubbing and stuff, so I don't really want to stop them from doing that, having to babysit the young one. But when I turn 18, I'm definitely going to be out on the town with them every night.
Well, I was just about to say, as soon as 18 comes, are you hitting those clubs, are you?
Every single night, yeah.
So overall, was it a great experience being part of it, and did you expect it to explode the way it has?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was an incredible experience to be a part of. It's just so, it fills you a lot of pride, seeing all the cast about. Because the books have a big fan group, so we expected it to be big, but obviously not as big as it's become, to be honest. But yeah, there was that buzz on set, we just felt like we were making something special, and clearly, yeah, it translated with a lot of people.
What do you want the future to hold for Cormac Hyde Corry?
Definitely directing. I definitely want to be directing soon. Maybe not soon, but definitely keep grafting on that. Definitely keep working towards that big goal. But acting, I'm definitely going to keep acting as well. It's, you know, it's been such a great experience for me. I don't know why I wouldn't keep acting. But yeah, just probably directing, acting. That's what the future holds for me.
Well, thanks for joining us here on Gorgeous Radio UK today. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Please come back and talk to us all about Series 2 as and when it happens. And Cormac Hyde Corry, thanks for joining us today here on Gorgeous.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
This is Sean Kay on Gorgeous Radio.
Gorgeous.